Hello again, Parson County, and thank you for listening to this edition of Turn the Page, where we talk about books and reading and all things literary. And as always, a special thanks to the wonderful folks who sponsor the show: Reagan and Son Heating and Air, Truth Books and Gifts, and Dunamit Insurance. Whenever I finish reading or listening to a book, I immediately grab my reading journal and jot down a few thoughts. I do this for several reasons. One is to prevent me from buying or checking out the same book twice. I have done both more than once, and in fact, it just happened again, but I haven't read the book yet. I pre-ordered two copies of the upcoming novel by my favorite author, James Lee Burke. Another reason I keep a reading journal is to make notes for the show, of course. And yet another is because my mother kept a record of her reading, and after she passed in 2005, that became a treasured keepsake for me and my sisters. Yes, we made copies, so we would all have one. Mama's reading journal was a bit different from my store-bought version. She was a product of the Great Depression and believed in making use of every available material, wasting as little as possible of anything. So, she wrote the titles and authors and sometimes her thoughts about books on the backs of envelopes that had once held mail, now not unused ones. She also used random scraps of paper and even the backs of church bulletins. It's a priceless collection. Anyway, each time that I start writing what I want to say here on the show, I always look at my reading journal for a kickstart. My latest entry is about The Children on the Hill by Jennifer McMahon. This was my first book by this author, and I will read more. I ran across the description of The Children on the Hill somewhere that I don't recall right now, but it sounded intriguing, and it certainly is. My reading journal entry about it begins with, "Oh my!" exclamation point. "What a story!" exclamation point. Then I go on to say that three kids in the 1970s are made to believe that their grandmother took them in after unfortunate circumstances befell the children when they were very young. But Grandma is actually a mad scientist practicing eugenics under the guise of being a caring mental health professional. The book is told from different viewpoints and switches seamlessly between 1978 and 2019, when one of those three children has grown up to become a hunter of monsters. The identity of that child is one of the best twists in the book. I won't say any more about that to avoid spoilers. In my journal, I go on to say that this is a creepy psychological thriller that blends Frankenstein with Hitler and Mengele. Of course, for me, the 1970s setting and references were fun. I was 21 in 1978. But I enjoyed the entire haunting tale. It is a story of identity lost and found. It is also a story of betrayal and begs the question, how well do we really know anyone, even our family? Toward the end of this book, the editor fell asleep a couple of times. Nothing major, and it may be things that most people wouldn't even notice, but I'm cursed that I see every typo and can't not see it. I'm not saying I've never made typos myself. I do. I'm human. And mine, when I see them in print, bug me even more than when I catch typos in someone else's work. But the typos in this book take nothing away from the engrossing, chilling story. The Children on the Hill is different and thrilling and fun, and I highly recommend it. Now, a quick note about my latest double purchase of the same book. Every Cloak Rolled in Blood by James Lee Burke will be released on May 24th, and you will hear my thoughts on it soon. But only once, I promise. Until then, thank you for listening, and happy reading.